talk about our health. Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I recently saw a video he made, and I was shocked. He's in his 80s and still kicking butt and working out and staying active. What's even more shocking is he's stronger and can work out longer and even has plenty of energy left over for his grandkids. He did this by just making one change. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this one thing, too, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner, and she has energy all day. Chuck made a special video that explains everything. Make sure you watch it by going to chuckdefense.com/X22 or click the link down below in the video. It will change the way you think about your health. Once again, that's chuckdefense.com/X22 and click on the link in the description below to watch the video now. You won't believe how simple it is. Just a reminder, the legendary Chuck Norris is a whopping 81 years old and yet has more energy than me. He discovered he could create dynamic changes to his health simply focusing on three things that sabotage our body as we age. Watch this method by clicking the link in the description box below. That is chuckdefense.com/X22. Hi, and welcome to the X22 Report Spotlight. Today, we have a new guest, Ben Berquam. Ben is the founder of FrontlineAmerica.com and host of Law and Border on Real America's Voice News. His work has been featured on The Gateway Pundit, Breitbart, Fox News, and many other conservative news outlets. With over 10 years of border and immigration focus, Ben brings the truth about the reality and depth of border invasion the mainstream media and left don't want you to know. And I am very happy and honored to have Ben on the X22 Report Spotlight. Ben, welcome to the Spotlight.
Dave, it is great to be with you. First time, a longtime fan, but great to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for being with us. And I've been following your work, and you're doing absolutely incredible work on the front lines, going after all these people that are coming into this country, showing the world exactly what's happening, because you really don't see this stuff on fake news. You don't see any of this. So I congratulate you on taking all the hits and everything and all the places that you've been. And I wanted to start off, I know you've been in Europe, and before we get to the United States, are you seeing the same thing here in the United States, where we have this border crisis, where we have all these illegals coming into the country? Do you see the same thing out in Europe?
Yeah. It's, in fact, I just came back from Romania just a couple weeks ago, and I was speaking at the Make Europe Great Again event out there on immigration, the issue. And I was there over the summer. I was in Sweden, Denmark, France, and then we're on the border where the illegals leaving France leave Calais and are going to England. And the answer to the question is, you see the same, it's the same enemy that we see that's driving the invasion on our southern border is driving the invasion into Europe. But it's even worse in a lot of places in Europe. This has been going on for decades now. You've had this woke open borders ideology in particular. It exploded when the European Union was created, and this idea that countries don't have a right to have border sovereignty is one of the dumbest things that most of these European nations ever signed up for. And now you have, you've had 20 years plus of Northern Africans and Middle Easterners leaving their countries, many of them jihadists, going right into Europe. And so you see the death of Europe at even a faster pace than you see it happening in America. All you have to do is look at Sweden, look at Malmo, Sweden, look at Stockholm, same thing, go to Paris. We were just under the Eiffel Tower a few months ago, and almost got attacked by North African illegal aliens that were there because we were simply filming them and showing what was happening. So, yes, this is a global problem. This is a battle of communism, leftism, jihadism, Sharia supremacy against Western ideology, against capitalism, freedom, liberty. And the enemy that's driving it, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, all of these leftist NGOs, Catholic Charities, Lutheran Social Services, Jewish Family Services, all of these organizations and hundreds of other smaller subsidiaries below them are driving it basically to every Western country in the world.
What do you think their main goal is? Why would they bring all of these people into Europe and into the United States, Canada? What's their main goal here?
Well, it's crazy. You know, you'd ask this, you look at America in particular, I'll just focus on America first. Okay. And then go globally. People ask me that all the time. Why would a politician in America invite the destruction of America? You know, why would anyone do that? You've sworn an oath to our country. You've sworn an oath to our Constitution. Why would anyone want to do that? And the truth that people have to come to terms with is we have people in our own government. We have people in our country that are running organizations in this country whose objective is to destroy this country. We have enemies within. It's what our founders warned us about. I'm more concerned about the enemies within this nation than I am about the enemies abroad. And in particular, because the damage they can do, and you're seeing that right now. We have politicians, and you pick the name, but you look at Rashida Tlaib, you look at Ilhan Omar, you look at Veronica Escobar, and then Joe Biden, the puppet. You know, I don't see him as really the threat. It's the people that are pulling his strings, Kamala Harris, all of these open borders leftists that are driving this. And ultimately, and you say, well, why would they want to destroy this country? There is a mindset that there is a philosophy that has been taught to several generations now that America is an evil country, that we were founded on colonial racist ideologies and ideals, and this country needs to be remade in this communist, utopian, non-racist, totally tolerant of everything except for anything that disagrees with their worldviews, ideals, and the only way to do that is to destroy it from within. And so I'm not being hyperbolic when I say that. We're at a divide in this nation. We're at a tipping point, at a crossroads, where we are either going to head towards the communist, leftist jihadism that we see marching across our college campuses today, or we're going to head back towards liberty, freedom, prosperity, America, and the West. And so, and that's where, you know, talking about America, it's the same enemies. It's the same George Soros, Open Society Foundations, and the hundreds of other leftist foundations, Bill Gates, and all of these global billionaires, elitists that believe that they can control population, that they believe in part of it, you know, it goes back to eugenics and climate change and all this other garbage, that they are the smartest ones in the room, that we are too dumb for our own good, and they have to be the ones that come in and save the day and recreate society in their, again, utopian vision. Ultimately, what it means for the West, if they're successful, and they're very close to destroying Europe totally, if they're successful in America, is the death of millions of people around the world. And you know, for reference, all you have to do is look at all of the other communist revolutions that have ever happened in Cuba, in China, in Russia. It always leads to mass death. And again, I'm not being hyperbolic when I say America, we are very close to that tipping point. And what's really weird, though, Dave, is when you look at this unholy alliance between communists, I call them anarcho-communists, because you'll talk to, like, you got the Antifa side of it, who are anarchists, but a lot of them don't know really what they are. They hate anybody. They hate God. So it's this godless anarcho-communist side that now have merged with the Sharia supremacist jihadist side that are working against anyone who believes in traditional families, traditional world, you know, Judeo-Christian worldview, and a capitalist free society. What's interesting about this is eventually those ideologies will clash. They're not compatible either. And so you'll end up having this, you know, fight between, if they ever are successful, fight between communism and jihadism. But at this point, they have allied together to attack their common enemy, which is us, which is God, which is freedom and liberty and everything that we battle. So that's where we're at right now. That's the enemy that we have to defeat. And that's why I do what I do, is to show the world the reality through the immigration issue, but also through any other issue that touches on it as well.
So when you look at Europe and you look here in the United States, do you find that it's the same people, Biden, the fake news, they keep telling us, oh, it's families, asylum seekers. These are the people they want, you know, a great way of life. So when you look at Europe and you look at the United States, who are the people actually coming in?
Well, you have all of it. So I want to be clear too.
Okay.
I don't blame a lot of the people that are coming to this country or going to Europe. It's, you know, it's human nature. If you're Willy Wonka in the Charlie Chocolate Factory and somebody says, here's the golden ticket, your life sucks. You live in this third world hellhole, and all you have to do is walk across this border and you're going to be given everything that you want. I don't blame the people for saying, yeah, let me have that. So, you know, that's just the human nature side of it. So you have people that are coming, that are fleeing these countries like Venezuela. You know, the first several waves we had come in from Venezuela were large numbers of those people that didn't want socialism, didn't want communism, saw their country destroyed in 20 years by stolen elections and by communism taking over. they came to America, and I, you know, I've interviewed these people as they're coming in Central America and South America. And one of them, and one of the families I interviewed, said they, after 2020, they said they're doing it to you like they did it to us. They stole your election like they stole our election, and they're going to destroy your country like they destroyed ours. But if you guys fall, we have nowhere else to go. So there is that side of it, of people that are truly trying to make a better life, that want to come and are just taking advantage of what the left is giving them. But along with that, there, you've got the other side that are blending in. And so you've got another example. I was in the Darien Gap a few months ago, and I was interviewing this Chinese family who had escaped the CCP. By the way, a lot of people don't know this. To leave China, you have to have the authorities control whether or not you come in, but they also control whether or not you leave. This family that I interviewed was had to escape. They were denied their visas to leave China. And so they ended up having to escape through Laos and Vietnam and ended up flying in here. And I asked the family, who barely spoke English, the daughter spoke a little bit. I said, we know you guys are coming. We believe you're coming for good purposes, good intentions. But we're also hearing that China's sending spies and foreign actors and people that have bad intentions for America. Have you heard or seen any of that? And in unison, the husband and wife and the daughter started yelling, yes, 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 they're coming. They're sending them. They're sending them. And so there's this clear understanding that along with this, the floodgates being open, you're getting the good fish and the bad fish. And that's what we have going on right now. We have everybody coming through, and the same thing's occurring in Europe. And the whole reason we have border sovereignty and the whole reason we have immigration policy, or we should, is to determine which are the good fish, which are the bad fish, and keep the bad fish out. And right now we're just letting them all in. So you've got, you know, people that have good intentions and people that have bad intentions, but ultimately it's all bad for America, because it's, you know, even the ones that have good intentions are still sucking at the welfare state, that are sucking at our children's future in a country that's $34 trillion in debt. We can't afford it. And so it's all bad in the end. But there are, I would say there are two primary distinct groups of people that are coming. People that want good for America and want good for themselves, and people that want harm to America. And right now, and I'll just show you, I like doing show and tell.
Okay.
As I go along the southern border, I pick up IDs from all over the world. And this guy's from Ghana. I've got passports from India, from China, find Qurans. I've got this little Muslim prayer book from Mecca, passports from Senegal, huge numbers coming in from Senegal, money from all over, currency from all over the world. And the reason that all of this is left there, I've interviewed a lot of the people that come across. They tell us that the same groups, these NGOs that are driving this, United Nations, OIM, the UNHCR, and then all of these Catholic charities, Lutheran Social Services, all these NGOs actually coach them as they come through these other countries, that they have an easier time coming into our country if we don't know who they are. Or in some cases, and this is from the United Arab Emirates, in some cases, they've already been given asylum in a safe country, foreign country. This is an ID from Spain, of a guy from India who was already given asylum in Spain. Well, you don't qualify for asylum in America if you've already been given asylum in Spain, so you dump the ID. Same thing in Mexico. If you've been given protection in Mexico, even though, you know, it's supposed to be the first safe country that you come to, our asylum laws say, some people would argue Mexico is not a safe country. But if you're coming from a third country and your justification for entering Mexico is asylum from that country, once you get asylum in Mexico, once you get status in Mexico, you no longer qualify for status in America. So they're dumping those as well. So moral of the story is you're getting everybody. And right now we just have no idea who's coming. We know there are bad actors. We know there are terrorists. We know that there are going to be more terror attacks in America. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of timing. And what we're doing right now is exacerbating that, is just expanding that potential threat to this country and to Europe. And again, the same thing is happening in Europe. And I'll give you one more example. When I was in Romania, I was interviewing a French journalist down there. And you can see these, I've got all these interviews on all my social media, on X and on our website, frontlineamerica.com as well. I interviewed this French journalist who said he had been on the island of Lesbos in Greece, which is just a few kilometers away from Turkey. And this entire island is a population of around 2,000 people, but they had a refugee camp of 50,000 people. And in that camp, they had split it up into English-speaking Muslims, French-speaking Muslims, and then they had a small group of ISIS members. They said around 100 of that they knew were ISIS members. And the ISIS members terrorized the entire camp, and eventually they ended up burning down the camp so that they could get to Greece, onto the mainland Greece, faster. And that's what happened. They burned down the camp. The European Union said, we can't allow these people to stay here. This is too dangerous for everybody. So they shipped them all onto the mainland. So they shipped 100 ISIS members onto the mainland of Europe. And this is one story of, you know, how many thousands more that they're allowing. So rather than holding people accountable, saying you can't come in here, we're simply inviting the people that are going to end up killing us in the end.
So you said that, you know, there are people that have good intentions and others that don't. Do you think that percentage has changed over time where, you know, maybe it started out, you know, these are the asylum seekers, they really want a better way of life, but now I think we're at a point that it's completely different?
Yes. And we could go back ways back in history. Mm-hmm. My wife and her family were refugees from Laos escaping communism to come to America. They had to be sponsored in order to come into the country. They had to have families in America that said that these people would not be a burden on society. We will actually sponsor them. We'll take care of them until they're integrated into America. And they came with the mindset of becoming American citizens. The same is true for the initial, I mentioned it earlier, the initial wave of Venezuelans that were escaping Maduro and escaping the, you know, socialism, the destruction, and down there in the previous communist regime down there. Now what we see is this, everybody has gotten the memo idea, and where you've got Tren de Agua, the gang out, the main gang out of Venezuela, the Solas cartel. We know, we have evidence that Maduro is actually opening up the jails down there, the prisons down there, and letting people out. And so now the world has the memo. Afghanistan, once Joe Biden pulled out in that disastrous pull out of Afghanistan, we know the Al-Qaeda is sending their foreign assets through the same way. Basically, everyone in the world has the memo. This is the way to do it. This is the easiest way to do it. And it's not just on our southern border, it's on our northern border as well. Sinaloa cartel operates on the northern border, and they bring people in that way as well. So yes, initially, you know, some of these things, a lot of times they start out with good intentions. You know, asylum laws came out with, well, we want to, you know, allow people escaping fascism or escaping communism to have freedom. And so it was, you know, this idea that America is this great country. We have enough resources to help other countries, so we should allow people that want to flee and come in and become Americans. We should have a program for that. That system has been so bastardized, it's unrecognizable to what it started out as. Now it's these NGOs have realized this is a profit center. It's really, I call it the Democrat illegal alien industrial complex. This is an entire industry now around illegal immigration, and the NGOs are a huge part of that. They're basically the middleman between the cartels and these foreign assets and our own government, and we're paying them to transport people into our country. And then once they get into our country, then you have all these sanctuary cities and states across America who initially said, oh yeah, we want all these people. Now they're having to deal with it. Now they're getting the bills for, you know, millions, if not billions. New York estimating $12 billion over 3 years it's going to cost them for the illegals that are coming in. But eventually all of that money is going to have to be paid by the taxpayers. So it's, you know, it started out maybe with good intentions, but what we have now are, it's all of it. It's worse. And every single day, you know, you have more bad actors that realize they can do it this way, and they are sending their bad actors in.
So if you,
Hugo Chavez was the name, not just Maduro, it's Hugo Chavez before that. It's, you know, it's there is a trend initially where you had the good guys come in, and now you just have everybody.
It feels like maybe there's one or two groups that are controlling this, because you mentioned with the Chinese, when you asked the family, are the Chinese sending in spies and other people? Let me ask you a question. Have you heard of the CERT food diet? Probably not, because it's something that was only popular among celebrities until now. In fact, it is actually not a restrictive diet at all. It's all about specific foods you should be adding to your diet. You may know some big names who have actually followed this diet, like a world famous singer, which we can't mention. Or maybe you've heard of a certain mixed martial artist, Conor McGregor, who claims to have used this diet, as well as world champion boxer David Haye, who credits his amazing shape to this. Now, the two international bestseller authors who created the CERT food diet diet. Glenn Matten and Aiden Goggins have a new, even more incredible way to get these potent cert foods to all Americans by combining them all into one revolutionary power drink so you can get all the benefits of the diet just by drinking this. It's called Ultimate Cert Juice, and it was designed to help you lose weight, support your overall health, and give you more energy to do the things you love. I know I've tried it, and I've been amazed at the results myself. It's truly been amazing. Since you're a loyal listener, I'm giving you all a $20 discount on this amazing product to try for yourself. And hey, it's way cheaper than buying any juice cleanse or all the ingredients. Go get your supply of Ultimate Cert Juice now by going to getcert.com/X22. That is getcert.com/X22, or click the link in the description box below. That's getcert.com/X22, or just click the link in the video to get your supply with this exclusive discount. But we also see other NGOs, Soros and others, bring in Muslims and jihadists. So is Soros working with the Chinese, or is this two separate groups?
Well, I don't have the evidence to say definitively that there is direct collusion between any jihadist organization and the CCP with Open Society Foundation. Mm. But there's no doubt that those communications, that collaboration is occurring. We know, on a separate topic, but they're all connected, what's happening on our college campuses. We know there's CCP influence and funds going into this. The Confucius Institutes around our country that are on all of these college campuses that are pushing communist ideas are also directly tied into the people that are marching for Palestine on our college campuses and marching directly for Hamas. So there's no question about that. And look at Venezuela again as a perfect example, a country that has partnered with Iran, has partnered with Hezbollah, and even the cartels in Sinaloa cartel in Juarez, Mexico, who's partnered with Hezbollah Hamas on the tunnel technology to actually create the tunnels that go into El Paso. So these collaborations have been going on for a long time. Bad guys work with bad guys. And it wouldn't, again, without the direct evidence that it's happening, I have no doubt that Soros and a lot of these enemies within our own government are working with these foreign actors to undermine us from within. And one other thing I haven't mentioned yet, some of this is by people that want to destroy this country from within. Some of it is purely profit driven. So these NGOs are some of them started off possibly with good intentions, but there's so much money in the industry now that it's corrupted the entire system. I have a friend that actually works in the unaccompanied minors program of the Office of Refugee Resettlement. And in the industry, they call it the refugee game. She's one that gives me honest information about what's happening in the system. She's a great lady. She came into this and wanted good intentions had good intentions and wanted to help children. And she's realized just what has happened to this. But she says there's so much money in it that even the people that came in it with good intentions have been co-opted. The other side of that is there's direct money coming from the cartels into politicians, into organizations within our country. Mexico, for all intents and purposes, is a failed narco state. The most of that country is controlled by narco interests, by cartel interests. The reality that a lot of Americans don't know or probably don't want to know is we have many places in America that are becoming like that, where you have cartel control, you have cartels buying off politicians, in particular on border states. And one of the things we have to do when we take power back in this country, if we get a real justice system back in this country, is investigate every single politician that is supporting these policies of the invasion of our country and find out which of them have been given direct or indirect funding from these foreign actors. And they need to be prosecuted. They need to be treated as traitors to our country. To me, that's the only way this is going to end up fixing, or the only way we're going to end up fixing this. But there's no question about it. These organizations are working together. And again, the question is motive. You'd have to do the investigation to find out if it's profit driven or if it's destruction of our country. Either way, it's bad for America.
You mentioned profit driven. Do you see a lot of human trafficking, child trafficking at the border?
Yeah, human trafficking, child trafficking, and modern day slavery is at a level never before seen in human history. We have people talking about the 1619 Project and the slavery of the past in America. We have more slaves today. You could call them indentured servants, child traffic. We have more of those today than we ever had in American history. And I just want to show you, again, talking about some of this stuff, when you talk about that, when you talk about the human misery that's going along with this,
Right.
I called it, this is a pack that we were, was given out. We actually broke the story on this, myself and Oscar Blue Ramirez, on our first trip across the Darien Gap from Colombia to Panama. This is a pack given out by OIM, the United Nations OIM, and this NGO CARE. This was being given out. We saw a van drive up right at Nacoccoli, where they're about to cross over the bay over and start the journey over the Darien Gap. It's being given out by the United Nations to women and children. And what was in these packs were birth control, condoms, morning after pills, and a whistle.
Wow.
And this, rather than, so to give you an idea of the human misery that we're allowing, we're inviting, we're incentivizing, the United Nations knows exactly what's happening. They know that women and children are going to be raped, potentially robbed, potentially murdered on the way. But rather than doing things to stop it or calling attention to that and saying, this is how bad it is, they're giving these rape kits out to them as they go across the jungle. This is a wristband, and this is, you see this, this is what the Gulf cartel, and what's interesting is everywhere you go on the border or down in Mexico or Central America, different cartels use different tactics. The Gulf cartel tends to use these wristbands to identify their property, the people that they're in control of or that have paid their debt or haven't paid their debt. And you see this down in Colombia as people are coming across the Darien Gap. I got this down on the border of Brownsville, Texas and Matamoros. But you can see this is a wristband off a small child. This is what Democrat open border policies actually look like, the human misery, the child trafficking that goes along with that. Now, some of these kids actually belong to the parents that are coming across with them. But a scary statistic, when President Trump was in office, while the ACLU was blocking them from doing the biometrics testing that Border Patrol and President Trump wanted to do, I interviewed a Border Patrol agent or the chief and down in the Yuma sector. And he said that their estimate was one third of the children that are brought across the border do not belong to the parents or the adults that are bringing them across. And they have a term for it. They call it recycling. The children are sold by the cartel. They're purchased by parents, or they're stolen from families down in Central America or around the world. They're sold to these men, in some case, men and women coming across so that they can catch their child, because they have an easier time coming in if they have a child with them. And then that child is shipped back, recycled back, and that's done over and over and over. And in one case, Border Patrol down there said that they had a child that they know of that was recycled 13 times. I've heard of another one being recycled 17 times. And this is just common knowledge in Border Patrol. So again, kind of a long answer to a short question. Yes, child trafficking is occurring at a major level. Human trafficking is occurring at a major level. And all of these policies simply exacerbate it.
So when you say, I just want to make sure I'm hearing this correctly. When you say recycle, they bring the children in here, they send them back and they come back in? Is this just for money?
Over and over and over. So they'll come across. And this is one of those things, when you had AOC go down to Flint, Texas, I was actually at the facility that she went to, and with her white pantsuit and hung on the chain links and pretended to cry about the separating of children. I was there at that facility the day before she went there, and I actually got a tour of the facility. And the truth, again, that the mainstream media and the left don't want you to know is what President Trump did. His border policies were the most compassionate we've seen in 50 years, ever since this problem began, illegal immigration began. He actually stopped the child trafficking, and he separated these children from the men and the fake families that were bringing them across. And when you talk about, child separation, family separation, a lot of that was taking those children that were being recycled, that were being trafficked, away from those people, and then actually getting them into custody, into our foster care system to protect those children, or trying to find their parents in Central America that they had either been purchased from or stolen from, and getting those, reuniting those children with their families. Yes. That when I say recycled, that's what's happening. This is Border Patrol directly to me, the cartel. So people don't understand this. Cartel is not just Mexico. Cartel is in every major city in America. So what they'll do is they'll sell the child to the adult. That adult will come across. Those, before we did biometrics testing, before we did any background checks on these kids, then those people would then be let into the interior of our country, but there'd be a record of it. So who is this kid? Who is that parent? When they are let into our country, then the cartel operating on the U.S. side ends up taking control of that child, takes them back across to Mexico, and then that is done again and again and again. And until, again, President Trump took office and started stopping this, this was just a normal occurrence where these kids would just be used over and over and over. And there was very little Border Patrol could do about it when they couldn't verify whether or not these kids actually belonged to the people. So first they come across with supposedly their mom and dad or their mom. Then they come across with their supposedly their aunt or their uncle, and then their cousins, and then their brothers, and then their sisters. But in reality, it was the child was just simply being used to traffic more people in or get more people in.
Wow.
It's pure evil.
It really is. The men that are coming across, we keep hearing that they're military aged men. Are these individuals, are they trained as military operators like in this, in as they come over, or are they just military aged men that can fight?
You know, most of it, you don't know. You know, most of the people that are coming across, again, the reason they dump their IDs so they can make up a story, they can make up a background, they can say they're from wherever they want to say that they're from. And if we don't have Interpol, you know, we don't have any data on them from the foreign countries, because again, we don't share information with. If we don't have a warrant for them from America, if we haven't fingerprinted them or gotten their facial recognition before, they can make up any story they want. But in our investigations and our reporting, we've interviewed many, many, many people coming from all parts of the world that admitted to us that they were either former military or former law enforcement coming from those countries, whether, you know, what their intentions are, whether, you know, some people, I interviewed a guy who was Venezuelan. He was Venezuelan Special Forces, and he was leaving, apparently, he said, because he was sick of the Venezuelan government and wanted to come to America for a better life. Is that true? I have no way of knowing, but yes. So they're, you know, again, everybody's coming. It's you've got elderly people. I mean, when you go, it's the most shocking thing. You go into the middle of the Darien Gap, one of the most remote, inhospitable parts of the world, and you'll find infants, 1-month-old infants. You'll find women and men, elderly women and men in their 80s coming through this. And then you find everyone in between. They're going back to one of your questions earlier. We have seen a higher trend initially when a lot of this started happening. It was family units. It was a lot of these, you know, women and children. But there's definitely been a spike in younger males, fighting age males. But again, how many of those are military trained? I have no way of knowing. And really, we don't have a way of knowing because we don't even get that information.
What about on the side of the Chinese? Why would they be sending so many Chinese spies or men into this country? Are they planning to do something? Or do you have any information on that?
Yeah, China's country and China's mindset is long-term vision. You know, we tend to think in America, we kind of have an ADD culture. They have a more of a long-term focused culture. And China they don't mince words that their objective is to control the world at some point. They want to be, you know, they want to be the United States to the world at some point. And so there's no question that they are sending in assets to see our security systems, to find our vulnerabilities, but also to undermine our economy, to purchase our land. And you see this happening. There's a lot of different terms for it, but one of them is the New Silk Road. China is going all over the world right now and basically buying up ports, buying up assets, buying up real estate. You look at Panama, they've taken control of the Panama Canal. You look at a lot of these countries, Middle Eastern countries as well, where China's coming in. El Salvador, a great example of Bukele turning that country around. But at the same time, China is pumping billions of dollars into that country to have influence in that country. So China's objective is to control the world. How they get that, you know, the strategies and the tactics of how they get there, your guess is as good as mine on what each one of these people are doing, if they're coming in to do direct harm to our country, or if they're simply coming in to infiltrate and exploit our resources. But my guess is it's all of the above.
President Trump continually says he's going to deport all of these individuals when he's elected. Are any of these individuals, are they tracked? Do we know where they are, or have we lost, or is another organization tracking them?
Once you get into the country, once you're handed off to these NGOs, most of the people can go anywhere they want. Now, in theory, they're given a piece of paper that has a location where they're supposed to turn themselves into ICE to start the process waiting for their court date to occur, which can occur 6 months from now. Most of the time, though, it's 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I've heard as much as 6 and 7 years down the road where these court dates are going to occur, where they're actually adjudicated whether or not they have a right to be in our country. Very few of them are tracked to any extent beyond that. You know, you find a few, we've interviewed a few that have the ankle monitors on them, but the vast majority, there is no tracking system. It's a, we're taking your word for it. We're trusting that you're going to turn yourself in. Outside of that, if they don't want to be found again, if they don't want to be tracked, it's going to be very, very difficult to find out where that specific person is. But that being said, the solution, you know, people ask me that all the time. What do you think about President Trump when he says we're going to do the largest mass deportation in American history? I think, yes, that's for sure. Now, are we going to deport all 20 million illegals that are here, or the up to 40 estimate that I've heard from Stephen Miller? My guess is, you know, it's probably closer, somewhere between 20 and 40 million. No, we're not going to do that. And I think ultimately the question that we should all ask, and anybody in government should ask, is in every situation, if we have a problem and there are potential solutions, it's always what is the best solution for the American citizen and the American taxpayer. And what I believe President Trump will do, and history is a guide for that, is you go after the worst, you go after the low-hanging fruit first, you go after all the criminals that have committed additional crimes, illegals that have committed additional crimes that are already in our jail systems and our prison systems. And then you go down the line and you go into each one of these communities. And the way you do that is, again, what President Trump did, and we did even before that. Barack Obama had this in place. George Bush had it in place. It's the 287G program, where you basically deputize sheriff's departments to act as ICE officials in their own community. And then you have sheriffs working with ICE to go and round up the people, the illegals in their own communities. And then again, we prioritize who are the most egregious that need to be deported the fastest, and how much, of our tax dollars, what's the cost benefit of doing all of them, doing a percentage of them. And we just go down the line from there. But I have no doubt it will be the largest mass deportation in American history, because it's the largest invasion in American history, illegal invasion in American history. So it has to be the largest mass deportation.
I agree with that. Hey, Ben, thank you very much for being on the X22 Report Spotlight. If people wanted to see your work and look at all your stuff on either X or Truth, where should they go?
At Ben Berquam on all social media. If you search frontlineamerica.com, you'll get my website. We've got news articles on there. We've got Substack, Frontline America at Substack. And then our episodes of Law and Border. We have our 24th episode coming out actually this weekend at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's at americasvoice.news. You click on all shows, or click on shows and then click reality. You can actually get all 24 episodes. We're in our fourth season right now of Law and Border. And I recommend, if you haven't watched it, binge watch it. You'll get all caught up on where we're at, where we were, where we're at, and where we're going in this fight. So I appreciate you, though.
Great. I'll put all the links at the bottom of the video. Ben, once again, thank you very much for being on the Spotlight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. My pleasure.
Thank you.